On the show today, we have Dollar Associates principal partner Dennis Dollar on the program talking about the election's impact on credit unions. So check it out. I wanted to get your take on the our recent elections and their impact on credit unions, and just kind of looking at it objectively, and just, you know, your want to get your professional reaction to the election's outcome. I mean, was this really an upset, or what's going on here from your take?
Well, I'm not going to get into the political analysis of it because I don't think there's anybody who saw it coming.
Yeah.
And those who did must have been awfully quiet about it, because I think it certainly could classify as an upset, and an upset of perhaps historic proportion.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, let's look at it as far as how it affects credit unions.
Right.
And I think there is certainly an impact here. The impact, first of all, is that for the first time in a number of years, in over a decade, you have the White House, the House, and the Senate all under control of the same party.
Yeah.
So what has traditionally been the gridlock that has kept anything from happening on credit union legislation or on regulatory reform, now you've got the White House the in the control of the GOP, and you've got the House and the Senate in control of the GOP. So I think it's much more likely that legislation may move now. Now, again, does that mean that the business lending cap being increased is likely to move? I think there's so much banker opposition to that. I don't necessarily see that that will be what will move. But I think you may see some movement in areas such as the restructuring of the CFPB.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would be very surprised if the Republican House and or Senate one did not initiate legislation that would then go to the other to at least implement perhaps a board at the CFPB rather than a single administrator.
Yeah.
Perhaps bring the CFPB budget under congressional control. Right now, the CFP budget is under the Federal Reserve. Anything that the CFP asks for, the Federal Reserve must fund. So therefore, there is really no oversight, no accountability over the CFPB budget. And then the other thing that could come about is perhaps an increase in the trigger for CFPB examinations from the $10 billion threshold up to maybe 25 or 50. So I think it's very possible that you could see some legislative action on the CFPB. Will it be repealed? I don't think so.
Right.
I think that the CFPB is going to be with us for the rest of our careers in the financial services industry. But I do think that its structure could be addressed. And the Republicans who would like to see it restructured have the additional impetus of that Circuit Court of Appeals ruling,
mm-hmm.
that ruled the structure to be unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Now, that has not yet gone to the Supreme Court, but now you see that the Supreme Court decisive vote is going to be appointed by Donald Trump rather than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Trump is much less a fan of Dodd-Frank than is Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you may see some change in the structure of the CFPB. It may make it a little bit less aggressive, but I think we're going to be dealing with it for a long time to come. Perhaps the question is in just what form?
Yeah, in what form or fashion, exactly. And you mentioned the Dodd-Frank. There's been a lot of chatter in the industry about Dodd-Frank and what's going to happen to it in regards to the recent elections. What is your getting your crystal ball out? What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, the CFPB was a part of Dodd-Frank,
right.
So any change to the CFPB is a change to Dodd-Frank. And I think that some of the other legislation that could come about as a part of the addressing of Dodd-Frank would be in other arenas that would primarily impact the big banks. But you can't have anything that impacts the big banks that doesn't also impact credit unions,
right.
Because first of all, we have to live by basically the same rules they
mm-hmm.
do. And secondly, they are the biggest part of the marketplace. You know, you've got close to 75% of the marketplace in the deposit marketplace that's held in the 100 biggest banks.
Right.
So anything that enables them to spread their wings even further, if you will, is going to enable them to spread their wings more and more into the areas that credit unions are wanting to spread their wings as well.
Yeah.
So I think that what happens with Dodd-Frank, what the Republicans do with it, what President-elect Trump, when he becomes President Trump, decides is a part of his initiative. It's going to be very much worth watching. But I think the most direct impact will be anything that happens on the CFPB.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard things from like they're going to dismantle the entire thing, start all over, yeah. to just like, we'll just tinker with a few things with the CFPB, but it's all over. It's kind of running the gamut.
And I don't think, Mike, they know at this stage. I don't think they know. There's going to be a lot of priorities, a lot of things that and it always happens after a presidential campaign when all these promises are made. Mm-hmm. And now the president comes in and has got to decide, okay, which ones of these can I really do?
Right.
Which ones of these can I do now? Which ones should I have to postpone till later? Mm-hmm. He only has so much political capital, particularly even though he has the House and the Senate in Republican hands. The Republicans only have a 2-seat majority in the Senate, so it's very close there.
Right.
He's going to have to be able to get his nominees confirmed to all of his appointments, including the Supreme Court. That's going to be very contentious in the Senate.
No doubt.
I think that the art of the possible is still being worked out between the new administration and Congress.
Now, just kind of looking at Trump and all parties aside and all that type of stuff, what will his impact be on credit unions? I mean, he's obviously well entrenched in Wall Street and obviously, you know, big time businessman, all that type of stuff. What will his impact be on credit? Are credit unions on his radar, or do we need to beef up our advocacy efforts even more so to get on his radar, or what?
Well, I don't know that credit unions are even on his radar. But I do know that he's going to be making appointments to the NCUA board.
Okay.
One opening right now. The Debbie Matt slot is still open. They're operating on a 2-member board.
Yep.
I feel like he will fill that vacancy very early in his term. So therefore, I think that he will have some direct impact by who he appoints to that board. He also has the authority with a stroke of a pen to change the chairmanship of the board.
I was going to ask you about that.
A member of the board is appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate for a 6-year term. That's what I was appointed for. But who serves as chairman of the agency is determined by the president of the United States. So he can, with a stroke of a pen, just as George W. Bush did when he came into the White House and I was serving as the only Republican on the board, he made me chairman. For the first year, I served as the Republican chairman, but with 2 Democrats on the board.
Right.
Oh, wow. But I had the gavel. I think it is very, very likely. In fact, I expect that he will probably make Mark McWaters, the one Republican serving on the board, into NCUA chairman probably by the end of January. So I think Rick Metzger's term as chairman is probably coming close to an end as a result of the election returns. Now, he'll stay on the board until the end of his term, but his term ends in August of 2017.
Right.
So think about it. You've got the Matz position, which Trump will be able to nominate someone to fill, subject to Senate confirmation. You've got the Metzger slot that'll be coming up in August. So there's a second position on the NCUA board that Trump will be able to nominate and have filled once the Senate confirms it. And then with a stroke of the pen, he can make McWaters chairman, which he will very likely do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Donald Trump is going to have a tremendous impact upon credit union regulation just by virtue of those appointments that are sitting there waiting on him right now.
What about Mr. Herrera? Because, I mean, he was obviously, I guess, unofficially appointed a few months ago and kind of waiting. Will that come to fruition, or will somebody else come?
He was nominated by President Obama, and one of the reasons you have elections is that the new guy comes in, gets to appoint his people.
Yeah.
And because Mr. Herrera did not get confirmed by the Senate before the end of his term, unless they come along and confirm him now, which I cannot imagine that the Republican Senate, knowing that a Republican president is coming in, is going to put a Democratic nominee into that slot that is got 5 years remaining on it. So I think as of this time, I think probably the Herrera nomination, and he's a very capable man and would do a great job on the NCUA board, but I think just politics being politics, I think his nomination is probably dead at this time.
Oh, wow.
Now, whether or not in the future, John Herrera might be able to secure the Democratic slot on the board, it's very possible, because the law says that all members of a regulatory board, not just NCUA, but the FDIC, at the Federal Trade Commission, any of the commissions, that all the members cannot be from the same political party. They can't all be from the president's party.
Right.
So you've got a 3-member board at NCUA. You've got McWaters there now, who's a Republican. He's probably going to become the chairman. Then you'll have a second Republican that'll be appointed to the Matz slot. Now you'll have two Republicans on the board.
And one
when
Democrat?
That's right. When the Metzger slot comes up in August, it's almost certain that he'll be replaced by a Democrat, because the law requires that the next one would have to be a Democrat. You can't have all three from the same party.
Right.
So at that stage, I think Herrera may have another shot. Because, again, he has been nominated for the position. He's gone through the background checks and the like. The question will be whether or not he has, you know, the political stick, if you will, to be able to get the nomination to the Democratic slot under the Trump administration, which he was obviously able to do under the Obama administration. Or is the fact that he was nominated by Obama, is that going to work against him
in a Trump
administration? It'll be interesting to see. But it has to be a Democrat. So Herrera, I think, would have as good a shot as anybody else, probably a little bit better shot than some.
All right. Yeah, and then we have, then there'll be another vacancy. So, yeah, so it sounds like the NCOA is going to be continue its kind of a merry-go-round, so to speak, of members coming and going.
Well, they've been operating with a two-member board ever since April of
last year
when this match left. And frankly, to Chairman Metzger and Board Member McWater's credit, they've actually got some things done.
Yeah.
They've approved to fill a very far-reaching field of membership rule. Now, the federal credit unions don't think it went far enough, and the banks think it went too far. But I think they did an incredible job, considering it's a two-member board. Either one of them had a veto authority. Either one of them could have stopped it. It was a 180-page regulation. In 180 pages, you can find a lot of things that you don't like.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the bankers threatening to sue them. You've got federal credit unions complaining it doesn't go far enough. You've got CUNA and NACU saying it doesn't go far enough. You've got a presidential election year, a whole lot of reasons that you could say, let's just wait till the third board member gets here.
Yeah.
And they found a way to make it work and to come forward with a regulation. So a lot of people thought that a two-member board would kind of bring an end to NCOA regulation for a period of time. They actually did come together and pass what I think is a very important regulation, not just for credit unions, but for the millions and millions of consumers that will now have access to a credit union because of the field of membership expansion that would not have it otherwise. So, you know, NCUA hasn't been shut down by a two-member board, but they're not going to stay a two-member board very much longer. Now that the presidency is settled, there'll be a third board member, I say, within the first 3 months of the Trump administration.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they seem to work really well together. I mean, just based on what you just said and all the actions and stuff, it seems to be working pretty well right now. So,
Well, I give them both credit. Yeah. I mean, Chairman Matz discontinued the budget briefings, for example, the public budget briefings that we had established when I was at NCUA and had been in place from 2001 to 2009. She discontinued them. There was a lot of feeling by the credit union industry that they were taking away their right to at least express themselves on the NCUA budget that the credit unions funded.
Yeah.
So when Metzger became chairman, one of the first things he did was to reinstitute those hearings, which McWaters had been a big proponent of.
Yep, yep.
I think it was a great step forward for transparency of the agency, for credibility both with credit unions and with the Congress, that it actually gone so far as that it introduced legislation to try to force NCUA to have budget hearings again.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they found a way to work together on that. They worked together on field of membership. I think they deserve credit for we're quick to criticize NCUA when they don't do things they should do. This is one time that we ought to be able to say to both of them, you went beyond party, you went beyond partisanship, you went beyond even perhaps philosophy somewhat, and you found a way to make field of membership work, to make the budget briefings work. And who knows, they may even move forward on supplemental capital. They had a hearing on it last month. And there seems to be a little bit of movement there as well. I know McWaters is a big supporter of supplemental capital. And if he becomes chairman, as I think he will, you may see the likelihood of supplemental capital moving, at least at NCUA, not in Congress, perhaps, where it can count towards net worth under PCA, toward the 7%.
Right.
But it could count towards the risk-based capital that has been put in place regulatorily by NCUA.
Okay, very. Oh my gosh, there is so much to digest here, Dennis. It's amazing. Okay, I'm going to wrap up here because I know you got a lot of work to do as well. But how do you see 2017 kind of? I know we're going to have a new president, new folks coming to office, all types of stuff. What else do you see happening in 2017 that we can either look forward to or not look forward to?
Well, I think that so much is going to be impacted by what happens with the CFPB. I mean, over the last couple of years, you've seen an emergence of credit union concern on the regulatory front, on the burden front, on the cost front that's associated with regulation, of a move away from worrying as much about NCUA and moving a little bit more towards worrying about the CFPB. Mm-hmm. And whereas I don't think anybody will ever take the NCUA completely off their radar, the CFPB has become such an activist regulator over the last couple of years. Yep. But I think a whole lot of the environment that credit unions operate on is going to be determined by what happens with the CFPB. You combine that with the fact that we're in a marketplace that is becoming more and more and more dominated by the big banks. And credit unions are now having to wonder, not how do I compete so much with the local community banks. They're shrinking at a faster rate than credit unions are.
Yeah.
And their market share is very much shrinking. So I think that credit unions, if they're going to build their membership base, which we must, if they're going to build their loan portfolios, which we must, if we're going to build our earnings, which we must, if we're going to build our capital, which we must, mm-hmm. then we're going to have to take much of that from the Wells Fargos, the Banks of America, the Citibanks, and the J.P. Morgan Chases of the world. Well, that's a completely different competitive environment than that we have traditionally operated in. We've been more on the local level, mm-hmm. fighting it out with the local community banks. Now those big boys are on the local level, and we're fighting it out with them as well. And they've got a branch in every corner and an ATM on the corners, and they don't have a branch. So I think things like shared branching are going to become more and more of an issue for credit unions.
Yeah, you're right.
I think shared marketing and cooperative marketing, either through the states or even nationally, is going to become more and more of an issue. I think loan participation is going to become more and more of an issue, where a credit union that has a lot of loans on the books and needs more liquidity, you got other credit unions that have a lot of liquidity and need some loans, they begin to participate loans more with each other. I think that's going to be a growing trend. And I think we're going to see a growing trend towards more CUSO investment as well. Mm-hmm. Credit unions collaborating with each other, yep. and sharing risk and sharing the cost of innovation, mm-hmm. and the like.
Yep.
And I think all of these things will probably be accelerated if the regulatory environment in 2017 allows it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So we're back to, again, what happens at CFPB, right. and what happens at NCUA.
Sounds like the CFPB is the central factor right here that we'll be watching early next year. So always good stuff. Dennis, thank you so much for, I always appreciate your take on stuff. Obviously, you know a little bit about this stuff. So appreciate your take.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you, Mike. Thank you for all you do to help get the word out to credit unions about what's happening out there in our industry. We are an industry that many times gets very insular, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of expertise within our industry. We've got to seek that expertise as we begin to get a little bit more external in our look and in our view. And we're not just a part of the little credit union world. We're a part of the broader financial services, mm-hmm. industry. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's incumbent upon us to think like that.
Yeah, indeed. I'm getting bigger every day. So
every day.
Keep that momentum going. All right, Dennis, thanks again. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mike.
And I look forward to visiting with you again in the new year. See how things are going.
Hopefully we'll be right here trying to do some good things for credit union.
Sounds good. I'm sure you will. Thanks, Dennis.